Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting from my home, a safe social distance from all of you. This is my first radio broadcast of 2020. For my longtime radio listeners, and this June, I'll be celebrating my 17th year on radio. Yikes. Welcome back. Good to be with you again. I just finished my second job, that is being a Virginia state delegate, a representative, state representative from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I'm back to my primary job of radio host for all my constituents I represent. You understand that it's just the radio show that's my secondary gig. But I am glad to be back with you. Most of you know that during the Virginia legislative session, January, February, and March, I'm glad to be back, reintroduce myself to a bunch of new listeners that are on a new network. We're glad to have you with us. For those of you that have been listening a long time, welcome back. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm looking out my window. The trees are turning green. The flowers are blooming. I can only watch it from outside, not from inside. Not quite true. I, of course, can go outside. The governor of Virginia has allowed us to leave our homes for the purpose of exercise, taking a walk, as long as we stay socially distant from each other. I assume that you are listening to the show from the shelter of your own home. I know my listeners are smart enough to be socially distant one from the other. Our new live streaming partner, by the way, is called NRM Streamcast. It's the all-inclusive network for streamcasting. It's a new platform broadcasting that you can get simultaneously on your desktop, mobile devices, smart TVs, and podcasts. They've got a whole bunch of shows, and I hope you will check them out. Anyway, it's a beautiful day outside, so it's kind of hard to talk about a grim topic. I think that's why, frankly, too many Americans have trouble with social distancing. Now, don't get me wrong. 90%+ of us get it, I think. Certainly, my friends and colleagues and family get it. Everyone is being very careful to protect themselves from COVID-19. SARS-CoV-2, the new novel coronavirus, the pandemic sweeping the globe. But I do think some people see the beautiful day outside and can't resist. And I want you to know that I understand that, even though, well, I'm inside. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the verge of catastrophe. Globally, but even more so right here in the United States of America. I think Americans, we like to think of ourselves as, you know, we're the richest country on earth, we're the smartest, we're the best, we can withstand anything. And I think we can withstand anything. But as I told you, as many of us warned our fellow Americans, when they chose to elect someone who was completely incompetent to be president of the United States, someone who was narcissistic and corrupt, reality show host, really a clown, a joke. When we elected a joke to be president, that it might well end up in the loss of life. So if you haven't heard it anywhere else, let me be the first to tell you. Tens of thousands of innocent Americans will likely be dead over the next month or two, due entirely to the incompetence of our clown who's a president. Now, that's some pretty tough words. When Trump was elected, and to be fair, obviously Hillary Clinton won the election. She got 3 million more votes than Donald Trump. we have a very peculiar system whereby we the people don't get to choose our president. We don't rule by majority rule the way other democracies do, because we have this electoral college left over from the founders in the 18th century who were trying to protect slaveholders and basically rich white men with property. Probably a topic for another show, but many of you know that I've been trying to fight to abolish the electoral college for decades now. But when 40-odd percent of Americans did choose a clown for president, I think I understand why they did it. You see, Republicans, going back to Ronald Reagan, had taught Americans that government is bad. Government is always bad. Ronald Reagan famously said that the scariest words in the world, or something, and I'm paraphrasing here, is a knock on the door, hey, I'm the government, I'm here to help you. For Republicans, for conservatives in general, the idea that we the people could form a more perfect union and could establish systems of government, a democratic republic to rule ourselves, was frightening, right? Remember, conservatives supported the monarchy. It was liberals that supported the American Revolution. Conservatives supported slavery. It was liberals that wanted to abolish slavery. Conservatives supported requiring you to own property to vote, requiring you to be white to vote, requiring you to be male to vote, requiring you to be Christian to vote, all in the early years. It was liberals who constantly said, no, we think democracy is the way to go. We think that everyone should vote. We should directly elect senators. Don't let the state legislators do it. We should, as I said today, directly elect the president of the United States. Conservatives fear democracy for the same reason they fear government, because they just don't trust we the people. They prefer an authoritarian regime. Vladimir Putin, King George III, Saddam Hussein, Kim Jong-un, pick your favorite dictator. Because conservatives often base their thoughts on fear, fear of the other, fear of the unwashed mob, fear of the majority, fear of the people, which is why the American Revolution, even though it at the time was just for white men with property, including slaveholders, was still a very radical idea. It was the idea that people could rule themselves. And indeed, the Declaration of Independence was extremely radical. Yes, it was written by a slaveholder, Thomas Jefferson, but its words were truer than the man who wrote it. All men are created equal. Today, we would say all men and women are created equal. This idea that we each can control our lives' destiny. But certainly since Ronald, there's always been this idea from conservatives, but certainly, Herbert Hoover, for example. Herbert Hoover famously said the government can't intervene in the economy. It's all about the invisible hand, the free market. The free market does just fine, Herbert Hoover said. We won't intervene. In fact, we're going to balance the budget, at the time of the Great Depression, which of course made the Great Depression worse. This idea that when government intervenes, it's always bad. But Herbert Hoover taught us that when the government fails to intervene, it can be worse. Again, Ronald Reagan said, worst thing in the world is someone from the government saying, I'm here to help you. But who is the government? The government is the people chosen by the American people. Some flaws, again, the American people chose Hillary Clinton, and I'm confident if Hillary Clinton were president today, we'd have a few hundred deaths rather than tens of thousands. And I'll get to why I think that in a moment. But it's important to understand why we have the complete failure of federal government leadership that we have today. Because these people were put in place by people who fundamentally don't believe that the United States can work as a government. They fundamentally believe in anarchy. They think the Somalian system, for example, or what's going on in Syria is better, where everyone has guns and can shoot everybody and look out for themselves. Self-reliant, shoot your neighbor. But the American experiment was built on a very different idea, on a, dare I say, collective idea, an idea that we, the people, were in charge, that we, the people, could put together a union and work together and create a system of government. And if we didn't create a good system of government, we, the people, would throw those bums out and get new people to create a better system of government. See, the government is not this entity from afar. You could argue that when it was King George III, yeah, then it was an entity from afar when it, you know, the Chinese government or North Korean government. These are dictatorships, the Russian government, right? You can blame all them. That's the government. That's not you. But we, the people, choose our government, or at least we should choose our government. We come close. We do in most states. We don't for the president. And therefore, if your government isn't working, we need to look in the mirror. If your government is failing you, then all of you who voted for Donald Trump, you kind of know it's your fault. And that's really hard to tell people. These are things they tell us politicians. Never tell people. Never tell a voter they're stupid. Well, that just makes you seem like an arrogant jerk, Mark. Don't ever do that. Well, that's why politicians are often lying to people. Oh, you're brilliant. You're wonderful. Well, you know what? If you voted for Donald Trump, you're not. You're not smart at all. We see people in red states now not socially isolating themselves, not keeping distance. The governor of Florida, when he was pushed to finally do an isolation order, did so, but exempted churches. And yet, time after time in South Korea and France, we find getting the virus in church is actually a very common way of transmitting it. In fact, a majority of the deaths in Korea were caused by a single woman who went to church when she shouldn't have. So a bunch of Trump supporters who go to church and don't want to believe in social distancing, well, they may end up just killing themselves. And I don't wish that on anyone. We're going to have a long talk this hour, and I'm going to invite you to join in as well. We're going to have a talk about why we are where we are, why more than 5,000 Americans are dead today that didn't need to be dead. You can add up all the deaths from Pearl Harbor and all the deaths from the attack on September 11th, 2,400 in the first instance, 3,000 in the second instance, and you still wouldn't reach the number of people who have died today from an entirely preventable death. No, the pandemic wasn't preventable. The pandemic was not created by Donald Trump. He certainly didn't start the virus. But had he taken steps like South Korea did, with adequate testing, tracing, and basically taking the virus seriously, we might have the death that South Korea has, less than 200, rather than the 5,000 plus we have now that I fear is going to be tens of thousands over the next couple of weeks. I'm sorry to give you such a grim broadcast, but you know me, I feel like you need to know the truth no matter how grim it is. There's a time for government, and that time is now. Honestly, it was 2 months ago. Call me if you want, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. I was wrong about the phone number. Apparently, in our socially distant world that we're in right now, you cannot call in at the moment. We're going to try to get you that working in the future. For now, if you want to leave a comment, just go to facebook.com/MarkLevinTalk, and you can comment right there on Facebook. You can also go to Mark Levin Talk on Twitter and comment there, and I'll be happy to address your comments. Roy writes about a post that his cousin just made on Facebook saying that she, her husband, and her kids are all sick. Quote, it started with a terrible migraine last week, and I initially thought allergies, you know, change in season, pollen. Shortly after the fever set in, then chills, achy body, cough, and dizziness. We were at urgent care with high fever, and less than 36 hours later at the ER, the emergency room, with difficulty breathing and chest pains. I've now heard from several people on COVID. In fact, I knew of a lawyer that I worked with in February who got the coronavirus. We had worked together on a case to help people who were trying to have access to their loved ones with Alzheimer's. Sadly, a lot of those people are going to die with this virus. Anyway, I worked with him in January. A couple weeks later, in February, he told me that he had a really bad headache and then terrible fever. And he thought he was going to die. It was just miserable. In fact, I joked with him. I've gone back and looked at the text. I joked with him and I said, hey, don't spread your coronavirus anywhere. I didn't really think that's what it was. Of course, that's exactly what it was. I've had constituents with coronavirus. Many of you know I represent Alexandria, Arlington, and Fairfax and Virginia. None of them could get tests. But, you know, when you have someone who's very healthy and their fever goes up to 102 and they have chills and night sweats and coughing and trouble breathing, well, that's coronavirus. And by the way, even if you're not from Virginia, I have set up a full page devoted to all the resources for coronavirus, specifically focused on Virginia. If you are from Virginia, you definitely want to look at it. If you go to markfordelegate.com, M-A-R-K-F-O-R, delegate.com, that's my delegate website. For those of you outside of Virginia, that's delegates, the same word as a state representative. It's an older word than the United States, so we use the old term delegate. In any case, go to markfordelegate.com, click on the coronavirus page, and you will see lots of information there, particularly if you're from Virginia, on everything from how to apply for unemployment to how to keep yourself safe from the virus to healthcare concerns, concerns about pets, concerns about school, driver's licenses, the metro, everything. It's all there. So please check that out. I do, though, want to focus, and I will focus much of the broadcast in the second half hour, on why we are where we are. Most people in my position, most elected officials, are not discussing this. And they're not discussing this for the same reason I think that most elected officials don't want to talk about gun violence while a shooting's going on. They're like, no, that's crass. Don't do that. That's political. When a shooting's going on, it's no time to talk about why we could have had better gun laws to keep the shooting from happening. That's for later. But later never comes. The shooting passes. People give a few thoughts and prayers. And then when legislation comes around, everyone forgets about the terror they felt when the shooting was there. Well, I think the same is true with this pandemic. People are saying, oh, Mark, now is not the time to talk about why we are where we are. Well, yes, it is. Because people are asking me, Mark, why don't we have enough tests? Why don't we have enough personal protective equipment, PPE? Why don't we have enough ventilators? What are you doing in Virginia? And I have to say, well, the federal government massively screwed up. They said, don't blame the federal government. What are you doing? And I have to explain that the reason why Virginia and every other state of the United States is unprepared is entirely due to the federal government. And while we are scrambling and bidding against each other and doing our best, well, it's their mistake that got us here. I'll explain.
The voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. On January 19th in the United States, January 20th in South Korea, the exact same day, actually, because of the international dateline, on the exact same day, now more than 2 months ago, the United States and South Korea both got their first confirmed citizen diagnosed with the coronavirus. The South Korea person had come from Wuhan, so had the American. The virus began in that Chinese city. South Korea sprang into action. They immediately tracked down that person and everyone they'd had contact with. Meanwhile, since we knew about the coronavirus back in 2019, actually, the Chinese announced it on December 31st, the last day of 2019. And for those who complain the Chinese didn't tell the world sooner, it's a legitimate complaint. Presumably, they should have known about it a month or so earlier. But we knew about it as recent, as long ago as New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, really, 2019. We had a patient, January 20th. By then, we already had a copy of the virus, a genetic copy. We knew what the virus was made of. That was already shared in the World Health Organization. And countries all around the globe and private companies all around the globe set up the first step, which is to get an adequate test to see if someone had the virus. The test is the first step. Probably the last step is a vaccine. That may take still another year or even more, maybe 18 months to develop. This will be over. If you want some comfort, this will end. But the first step is to get the test. So everyone's set to work. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, the folks in charge of healthcare for the United States government, they got to work. Countries all around the globe got to work. Private companies got to work. And actually, the first company or country to get the test exactly right was a small lab in Germany. Small lab in Germany figured out a way to isolate the virus, to make it grow, and to test it. A test that was accurate, that had virtually no false positives or false negatives. If this test were activated, you knew whether you had the virus or not. They sent it to the World Health Organization, which quickly approved it. As of January, again, more than 2 months ago, the World Health Organization had approved a test for this virus. South Korea got to work right away. They took the German test. And by the way, you didn't have to buy it from this German company. The German company, knowing that they were trying to save hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives all around the globe, published exactly how to do the test. The World Health Organization published how to do the test. You didn't have to buy it from this lab. You could create your own, and South Korea got to work. They created hundreds of thousands, eventually millions of tests. They set up drive-through test centers. They tested 10 and later 20,000 people a day, all for the month of February, into March, testing 20,000 people a day. By mid-March, South Korea was testing 20,000 a day. They'd done hundreds of thousands of tests, close to a million tests. Federal government had first 20,000 tests right here in the United States. South Korea had so many tests that it wasn't just sick people they tested. It wasn't just people with the symptoms they tested. They tested everybody. You just drove up. And this is an invasive test, folks. I mean, they stick a thing up your nose all the way till it like touches your eyes. It's not a pleasant thing. But millions of South Koreans underwent the test. Anyone who thought they could in any way be sick, any way be in contact with anyone. And the South Korean healthcare officials tracked every person down. In fact, for a while, about mid-February, they had tracked down all 30 people who had the virus, had isolated them and their families, had isolated their network. There were just a few hundred cases. Boy, I have to be careful every time I cough. Whew. Few hundred cases. Then what happened in South Korea, a woman who we will affectionately call Patient 31. Patient 31 decided not to socially isolate herself. Patient 31 decided she didn't want to test, even though she had a fever and felt ill. Patient 31 went to church, a mega church, as it happens, one of those fairly secretive cult-like South Korean churches. We have a few of them in the United States. I don't mean to pick on South Korea. And she alone, this one woman and her actions, led to some 5,000 South Koreans getting the virus. More than 100 people died because of the actions of this particular woman who decided to go to the restaurant and hang out with her friends rather than do what her doctors told her to do when she went to the hospital, which was to stay home and isolate. But notwithstanding this one woman's complete failure to act smartly or humanely, the South Korean government did an amazing job. They tracked down each and every one of the 8,000 odd COVID cases they had, more than 5,000 caused by this one woman. They isolated them. They practiced social isolation. They didn't even have to do some of the quarantine measures that we're doing now because they tracked it early and they had enough tests to do so. Everyone who wanted a test could get a test. South Korea is already coming out of the COVID crisis now. That's right. South Korea has, and remember, outside of China, South Korea was one of the biggest numbers of people with the virus. You look at those charts back in February, you'll see it's China first, South Korea second. They had more than 8,000 people with the virus, which sounds like a lot. Even a week ago sounded like a lot. Today we have some 200,000 Americans and growing with the virus, just in the U.S. alone, a million cases worldwide. But South Korea had about 8,000 cases. They kept the number of deaths down to between 100 and 200. I think it's 150 now, 160 now. And I feel horrible for the 160 South Koreans who lost their lives. But that's about it. I think South Korea will weather this entire pandemic with less than 200 lives lost. We in America are at 5,316 and growing moment by moment. We'll almost certainly be over 6,000 tomorrow and over 7,000 the next day. So what did we do differently from South Korea? Well, same test, same day, first patient, same day. We didn't tell people to practice social isolation. We didn't track down all the people they'd seen. We didn't have enough tests. Our CDC did a bad test, a wrong test. Okay, scientists aren't perfect. I have no doubt they tried their best. They did the wrong test. But rather than say, all right, the Germans got it better than us this time. It's working. Let's go with the German test, which everyone says works. They double down. America first. We will get it right ourselves. Damn it. And from January 20th to February 29th, they not only didn't use the German test, the one that had been used all around the globe, used in China, used in South Korea, used in Germany. Nope. They actually forbade American companies and American state governments from developing our own vaccines.
What?
St. Mark, why didn't Virginia develop their own vaccine? It was illegal. They set up regulations to prohibit unauthorized tests, either by local government, state government, or by private entities throughout the United States. So while South Korea is testing in February 20,000 people a day, in America, we tested a few hundred. We couldn't possibly track the virus. I told you, I know someone who had the COVID virus in February, could not get tested. I know he infected at least a couple other people, unwittingly, of course. We couldn't track it down. Meanwhile, our president wasn't taking it seriously. He was going to golf courses. Now, admittedly, this is a tough thing to know, that we would have to take it this seriously, except that he was told that day after day after day by his national security advisors. Part of the problem was the pandemic response team that President Obama had set up wasn't meeting. Why not? Trump disbanded it in 2018, fired everybody, told them all to go home. Waste of money. Waste of money. What was it, $1 million? Was it that much? We've now spent $2 trillion or $2 million dollars. That's a 2 million times what that may have cost. I don't know what the office cost. A million, 2 million, half a million. the same president was giving $2.5 trillion to billionaires, couldn't afford pandemic response. Anyway, we didn't have a response team. The CDC wasn't doing the right thing, and we didn't have a president overseeing it because the president was too busy claiming that he had it all under control. When we come back, I'm going to play for you a number of clips from the president compiled by the Washington Post day after day after day after day as he played down this crisis, allowing it to spread. We could have been like South Korea. Due to the actions of our federal government, we've chosen to be like one of the countries who handled it worse, Italy. Except, you know what? We're going to handle it worse than Italy. My friends, we're on the verge of catastrophe, entirely preventable catastrophe. Wish I had better news for you. But strap in after the break. We're going to let you know why we are where we are and what we still can do about it. Check back in after the break.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. We talked about how South Korea successfully handled the virus. They got the first case the same day we did. They tested hundreds of thousands, probably more than a million of South Koreans. They tracked it down and they stopped it. They now have fewer than 200 deaths there. Unfortunately, we did not do the same. We did not do our tests in time. Our CDC didn't copy Germany. And frankly, we had a president who was so busy playing down the crisis that there was no one in charge to tell the CDC or the Food and Drug Administration to do the right thing. It wasn't until the last day of February, February 29th, that they even allowed some private companies to work on it. They didn't allow state labs to do it until March 13th, which was really just 2 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago, very recently. But to understand how much they played it down, I need to hear you actually hear the president talk about the crisis. And these videos are played from the Washington Post all the way from January, all the way up through mid-March. Let's roll the tape.
I don't believe the president has ever belittled the threat of the coronavirus.
Are the words about a pandemic at this point?
No, we're not at all, and we have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China.
We think we have it very well under control. We have very little problem in this country at this moment, five.
We pretty much shut it down. Coming in from China.
My administration will take all necessary steps to safeguard our citizens from this threat.
Now, the virus that we're talking about having to do, you know, a lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat.
It's like around 12. Many of them are getting better. Some are fully recovered already. So we're in very good shape.
I think it's going to work out fine. I think when we get into April and the warmer weather, that has a very negative effect on that.
You know, very well under control in our country.
Because of all we've done, the risk to the American people remains very low. People die from the flu, and this is very unusual. And it is a little bit different, but in some ways it's easier, and in some ways it's a little bit tougher. We have it so well under control. I mean, view this the same as the flu. When somebody sneezes, I mean, I try and bail out as much as possible. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear. Yes. And from our shores, it could get worse before it gets better. It could maybe go away. We'll see what happens. Nobody really knows. The fact is, the greatest experts, I've spoken to them all, nobody really knows.
We're ordering a lot of supplies. We're ordering a lot of elements that, frankly, we wouldn't be ordering unless it was something like this. But we're ordering a lot of different elements of medical.
And we only have 15 people, and they're getting better, and hopefully they're all better soon.
Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. And this is their new hoax.
If you're healthy, you will probably go through a process and you'll be fine. You take a solid flu vaccine, you don't think that would have an impact or much of an impact on corona?
No.
We are, I think, doing a very effective job.
If, you know, we have thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that get better just by, you know, sitting around and even going to work. Some of them go to work, but they get better.
I said, calm. You have to be calm. It'll go away.
We're doing very well, and we've done a fantastic job with respect to that subject on the virus.
We're prepared, and we're doing a great job with it, and it will go away. Just stay calm.
This is the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to confront a foreign virus in modern history.
We need a little separation until such time as this goes away. It's going to go away.
1.4 million tests on board next week, and 5 million within a month. I doubt we'll need anywhere near that.
It's a very contagious virus. It's incredible, but it's something that we have tremendous control of.
I was talking about what we're doing is under control, but I'm not talking about the virus.
And we're going to win, and I think we're going to win faster than people think, I hope.
America will again and soon be open for business. Parts of our country are very lightly affected.
You're going to lose a number of people to the flu, but you're going to lose more people by putting a country into a massive recession or depression.
There are large sections of our country probably can go back much sooner than other sections. It's hard not to be happy with the job we're doing. That I can tell you. They have to go back to work. Our country has to go back. Our country is based on that. And I think it's going to happen pretty quickly.
But I have a feeling that a lot of the numbers that are being said in some areas are just bigger than they're going to be. I don't believe you need 40,000 or 30,000 ventilators. You know, you go into major hospitals sometimes, they'll have two ventilators. And now, all of a sudden, they're saying, can we order 30,000 ventilators?
2.2 million deaths. 2.2 million people from this. And so, if we could hold that down, as we're saying, to 100,000, it's a horrible number. Maybe even less, but to 100,000. So we have between 100 and 200,000. We all together have done a very good job.
New York is really in trouble, but I think it's going to end up being fine. We're loading it up. We're stocking it up. Both. And then by a little short of June, maybe June 1st, we think the, you know, it's a terrible thing to say, but we think the death will be at a very low number. It'll be brought down to a very low number from right now, from where it's getting to reach its peak.
What does that even mean? Mr. President, it is now April. Mr. President, you said we'd be done by Easter. Easter is in 10 days. Mr. President, you said we didn't need ventilators. You didn't prepare for PPE. The stockpile has been depleted. And states are begging. They're acting like the Hunger Games. They're competing. New York against California, against Michigan, Louisiana, Virginia, all trying to buy as much as possible. And this day, just this day, I posted on Facebook, you're refusing to accept masks offered by China that many of our people could use. Is that the same reason that the CDC didn't take the tests from Germany? This is a crisis. Tens of thousands of innocent American lives are about to be lost in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We declared war in World War II after Pearl Harbor's 2,400 deaths. We declared war after 9/11 with 3,000 innocent Americans dead. We already have both that number dead and prospects of tens of thousands more. I don't even want to think about 100,000. Mr. President, this is a serious crisis. And all of you Trumpets who voted for him, if you go out and you leave your homes, you are likely to get sick from the very crisis you can't wish away. This isn't Ukraine. This isn't Bob Mueller. You can't pretend that the virus is going to believe you. This is Mark Levine. I'll see you next week.